Chapter 2. Back to Stortfold. My parents made the 50-mile journey to visit me every day for 2 weeks. I had 2 operations on my hip, and my left arm and foot were put in plaster. I tried to explain to my parents that I fell from the wall because I heard a girl's voice, but I knew that they did not completely believe me.
A girl? Dad said. Are you sure?
Yes, my hip is broken, Dad, not my mind.
They did say that it was a girl who called the ambulance, said Mum, touching Dad's arm.
So, you're saying that it really was an accident, he said.
I stopped eating the sandwich that Mum had brought me.
You think that I was trying to kill myself?
They quickly turned away from each other, looking guilty.
It's just that the doctors weren't sure why you fell. So we want you to come home with us just while you recover, Mum suggested.
I wanted to say that I would be fine in my flat. I wanted to do my job and not go back to Stortfold and be that girl again, the one who... I didn't want to pass Will's house every day and think about what I had been part of. But I didn't say any of it, because suddenly I was tired and everything hurt, and I just couldn't fight anymore. Dad brought me home 2 weeks later. The happy streets of my hometown did not feel familiar. I thought how small and sweet and tired everything looked. Was this how Will felt when he came home from his accident? Grandad was waiting behind Mum in the hall, wearing his good blue jumper. The house looked the same as when I had left. 18 months later, I felt like I'd been away for 10 years.
Don't hurry her, Mum said. You're going too fast, Bernard. Oh, be careful of her plaster on those stairs.
Is this what it was like for you every single day, Will? I wondered. Suddenly, my sister Trina was in the doorway, pushing past Mum and putting her shoulder under my good arm.
Come on, she said.
Welcome home, Lou, said Dad,
and immediately dropped my bag on my foot. For the first 9 months after Will's death, I had been in a dream. I went straight to Paris, got a job in a bar, and rented a small room. I lay awake each night, listening to the sounds of the city, feeling like I was living someone else's life. I woke up laughing or crying, ate new foods, and walked strange streets. Sometimes I felt like Will was with me and whispering in my ear, "What do you think of that, Clark? Eat it, try it, go on." I missed looking after him every day. My hands missed his soft hair, his body, putting on his clothes. My mother had been very unhappy about my part in Will's death. She told me that although she still loved me, she could not forgive me for what I had done. So I had lost the man that I loved and my family. Spring came, but the city began to feel like an expensive dress that didn't fit. I wrote to colleges about the fashion course that Will had offered to pay for, but I had no work to show them, and they politely said no. Then Michael Lawler, Will's lawyer, called.
"You need to do something with the money that Will left you," he said.
It gave me a reason to move. Michael contacted an estate agent in London, who helped me buy a very expensive two-room flat in the centre of London. 6 weeks later, I moved back to England, got a job at the Shamrock and Clover, and waited to start living. 9 months later, I was still waiting. I didn't go out much in my first week home in Stortfold. My family and I didn't talk about Will. We watched a lot of TV, and my mother cooked for me. But as I recovered slowly, the real world started to enter. I heard the neighbours outside asking about me. "Your Lou is home, is she?" and my mother's short replies. I stopped going into rooms that looked out at the castle because it made me think of Will's family. Mrs. Traynor had written me a letter when I was in Paris, thanking me. "You did everything that you could." But that was it. The Traynor family had gone from being my whole life to a small part of something that I tried not to remember. Then I learned that Mum and Dad had stopped going out to the pub. "Really, you must go out and enjoy yourselves," I told them. "Don't worry about me." We don't go to the pub anymore," said Mum.
"Everyone had a lot to say about what happened," Dad added. "It became easier to stay away."
The weeks passed. My plaster was taken off and, slowly, I was able to walk again. I started to take Grandad for slow walks around the park. One morning, I heard two women whispering about me as I passed them.
"They say that she jumped off a building."
"Oh, it's the guilt. I wouldn't be able to live with myself either."
A few days later, Grandad and I arrived home from a walk to find the rest of the family arguing about a problem with the toilet. There was lots of shouting. But as soon as we arrived, it stopped. They all turned to me with a smile that said,
"Everything's okay here, Lou."
I hated that smile. That's when I decided to go back to London.